Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 3. And in this chapter, we find the story of John the Baptist baptizing in the River Jordan. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes to him to be baptized. So it says in verse number 1, it says, "In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins." In verse 5, or verse 13, opposite verse 5, verse 13 says, "Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, 'I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?'" Now, John the Baptist immediately recognized the fact that Jesus did not fit the requirements for his baptism, since John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. And Jesus had nothing to repent of, for he had never sinned. And so John says, "I should be baptized of thee. I should not be baptizing you. You should be baptizing me. I should be baptized of thee." And look at Jesus' response in verse 15. "And Jesus answering said unto him, 'Suffer it to be so now. Allow it to be so now. For thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he suffered him." Then John the Baptist baptized him. So Jesus was the promised Messiah, and he came to this earth to provide salvation for sinful men. But if the Messiah was to provide righteousness for sinners, he first must be identified with sinners. Therefore, it was God's will that for Jesus to be baptized by John in order to be identified with sinners. When you and I were baptized, we were identified with him in his death, burial, and resurrection. When Jesus was baptized, he was identified with us in our sin. Anyway, after Jesus was baptized by John in the River Jordan, something really amazing happened. Something wonderful happened. The heavens opened up. The Holy Spirit descended upon him in the form of a dove. And God the Father spoke from heaven. Verse 16 says, "And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Let's have a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to be in your house this morning. It's such a blessing to be able to gather together on the Lord's Day, to pray together and to sing these great hymns of the faith together, and to be ministered to by others and with their music, and to study your word together. And we pray that you would speak to our hearts. Pray that you would give us something from your word that would be a blessing to us and a help to us. And we lift up Sister Martha in prayer this morning. Our hearts go out to her. Pray that you would just touch her body and strengthen her. Pray that you would encourage her and meet her needs in a special way. We'll praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The question is, who saw all of this take place when the heavens opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove? Who saw that happen? And who heard the voice from heaven speaking? That's a good question. And it seems that various Bible scholars, so to speak, Bible writers, commentators, they differ in their opinion as to who actually heard these things and saw these things. Some believe that everybody present that day witness these events. John the Baptist witnessed them. Jesus witnessed them. The people that were gathered there. Everybody witnessed these events. They heard, they saw the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descend upon him. They heard the voice from heaven. Others believe that it was only Jesus and John the Baptist who actually witnessed these events. And then there are some who believe that only Jesus himself witnessed these events. And so we don't know for sure. I mean, it is possible that only Jesus witnessed these events. After all, we're not specifically told in these verses that anyone other than Jesus, you know, witnessed these events or heard these events. When we first read it, we might assume that everybody present did. But it doesn't really say that they did. In fact, in verse 16, it says, when Jesus was baptized and he went straightway out of the waters, the heavens were open and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And Jesus saw that. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." The same story is given in the Gospel of Mark. And the account in the Gospel of Mark says it just a little slightly different. In Mark chapter 1, it says, he came up out of the water. He saw the heavens opened and the Spirit of God descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, "Thou art my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So the question is, did Jesus witness these events alone? Or did John the Baptist witness these events with Jesus? Or did everyone present there that day witness these events? And it's a good question, and the Bible doesn't really answer that question. And so people will continue to speculate because we don't know for certain. But if it was that important for us to know, if this was really a critical thing, then the Bible would tell us exactly the way it was. But we know that Jesus heard them. We know that Jesus saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him. We know he heard the voice. Maybe John did, maybe others did. But the important aspect of this story is not who witnessed these events, but why this event took place. Because this happened for a reason. It didn't happen for no reason at all. There was a purpose behind it. So why did God the Father speak from heaven? And that's a good question. That's the question we want to answer this morning. And we see it all set forth in what the Father said. We can see why this event happened the way that it did. The first thing, there's three primary reasons, I could say, why this happened or what the Father affirmed about the Lord Jesus Christ when he spoke from heaven. The first thing is that the voice of God affirmed the identity of the Son. And you can kind of see these different things by emphasizing different aspects of the words that were spoken. The voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son." So God's, by saying that, he was affirming the identity of the Son of God. "This is my beloved Son." Now you think about this statement being made, and there's a lot of people in this world who do not believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They reject that completely. And so the question is, when you read this story and you hear God the Father say these words, they would have to say either God never said these words were never spoken, John records them, but none of it's true. Because God the Father never spoke about his Son. Or they would have to say that God the Father spoke about his Son, but he was mistaken in what he said. Or what he said was true. So there's your options there. You know, what is, did the Father speak? Well, like the Bible says that he did. And if he did, is what he said true? His voice, the voice of God, affirmed the identity of the Son. He said, "This is my beloved Son." Now you think about this. Throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus was going to encounter people who sought to cast doubt upon his identity. And they would say to him that he was not who he claimed to be. And they would be very adamant about it. They would say, "You are not the Son of God." We encounter people like that as well, right? Who say, "Jesus was not the Son of God." God the Father says, "This is my beloved Son." But Jesus would encounter people who would say, who would cast doubt upon him. A couple of examples. In Matthew chapter 4, when Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, we find the devil saying to him, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." We find him saying, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down." And what the devil is doing is he's trying to cast doubt upon the identity of the Son. In Matthew chapter 27, when Jesus was on the cross, people passed by and said, "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." And there were two thieves that were crucified with him, one on the right hand and one on the left. And they that passed by reviled on him, wagging their heads and saying, "Thou that destroyest this temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." Again, they're casting doubt. "You claim to be the Son of God. Prove that you are who you say you are. How do we know you are who you claim to be? If you're really the Son of God, come down from the cross. You can't come down from the cross. You're not the Son of God." They would say things like that. And so, throughout his earthly ministry, Jesus heard so many voices saying, you know, "If thou be the Son of God." So right from the very beginning of his earthly ministry, and this all is taking place right at the beginning, God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." This is him. Think about it. You know, all throughout Jesus' earthly ministry, he heard people say, you know, "Feed us and heal us and touch us and teach us." And as long as he fed them and he healed them and he touched them and he taught them, they praised him. But when he no longer did those things, they cried, "Crucify him." But Jesus knew who he was. He knew that he was the Son of God. In fact, at the beginning of his earthly ministry, God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son." So the voice of God affirmed the identity of the Son, but the voice of God also affirmed his love for the Son. Right? He said, "This is my beloved Son." This is my beloved Son. The Father loved him, and he told him that he loved him. And there would be times when, you know, during his earthly ministry, when people would turn against him, and there would be times when they hated him, and they would say mean things about him and untrue things about him, and they would say things about him that were not true, and there would be times when he would be rejected, and he would be mocked, and he would be ridiculed, and he would be spit upon, and he would be made to suffer persecution. But all the while, no matter what Jesus went through during his earthly ministry, he knew that the Father loved him. He knew that because the Father said so. He said, "This is my beloved Son." Let me just say in passing, if the Son of God needed to hear these words from his Father, how much more do, you know, our children, our sons, need to hear those same words from us, right? That we love them, that they're loved by us. They need to hear that. We need to tell them that. God the Father told God the Son, "Thou art my beloved Son. I love you." So his voice, the voice of God, identified the identity or affirmed the identity of the Son of God. And it also affirmed his love for the Son of God. But number three, it affirmed the ministry of the Son of God. He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." Jesus knew that he was doing the Father's work. He was doing the work that God had called him to do. He was doing the work that he had come to do, the work that the way he was doing it was well pleasing to the Father because the Father said so. And it didn't make any difference what other people said. Jesus knew that he was doing the work of the Father. He was doing the work that God the Father called him to do. And that's all that mattered, right? It didn't matter what other people thought. Didn't matter what other people said. It didn't matter what other people, you know, claimed or how foolish they may have thought he was any of those things really didn't matter. The Father was well pleased, and that was really all that mattered. It didn't matter if other people praised him. It didn't matter if they persecuted him. It didn't matter if they hailed him or if they hated him. Didn't matter whether he was crowned by them or whether he was crucified by them. All that really mattered was that the Father was well pleased with him. And we know that he was because he said so. "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." So that's the reason why these words were spoken. They affirmed the identity of the Son of God. They affirmed the love that the Father had for his Son. And they affirmed the ministry of the Son of God, the work that he came to do. The Father sent him to do a work. And Jesus could say, you know, I've come to do the work of him that sent me. I'm doing what the Father's called me to do. And he knew that the Father was well pleased with what he did. But anyway, for application for us, the voice of God not only is spoken to, was only, you know, spoke to the Son, but God has spoken to us as well. God the Father has spoken to us. See, I've never heard the audible voice of God. Jesus heard that audible voice. I've never heard the audible voice of God speak to me out of heaven. Not many people have. A few people have. Not very many. The Apostle Peter did. So did James and John. But Peter speaks of this event in his second epistle that he wrote. He talked about how that, he was an eyewitness of the majesty of Christ when he's talking about on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter said, "We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. We saw it with our own eyes. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.'" On the Mount of Transfiguration, when Peter, James, and John were there observing it, God the Father again spoke to Jesus from heaven. And he said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." They heard that voice. He says, "And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." We heard this voice that spoke. So, I've never heard the audible voice of God speak. Very few people have. Some have. Peter had. James had. John had. Old Testament prophets, I'm sure, had. But I have read the Bible, and the Bible is the Word of God. It is the voice of God, right? It is God's Word. In fact, you know, Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And that more sure word of prophecy is Scripture. You know, Peter said, we heard the audible voice of God speak, but we have something even more sure than that, and that is the prophecy of Scripture. The Bible is the Word of God. It's the voice of God speaking to us. So the voice of God, the Word of God that we have, that I've read, that you've read, it does the same thing for us. It identifies, it affirms our identity as sons of God. How do I know that I'm a child of God? I know that I'm a child of God because the Bible says so. I'm a son of God. I'm not the son of God. There's only one the son of God. But all of us who are saved are children of God, sons of God. How do we know that we're children of God? Because we hear voices from people who say, you're not a child of God. Nobody can be a child of God. Nobody can know that they're saved. John chapter 1 verse 11 says, he came into his own, but his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So I have received him, and I believe on his name. And I've been born into his family. I am a child of God. In 1 John chapter 3, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him. We'll see him as he is. We are children of God. So it doesn't matter what the devil says, and it doesn't matter what other people say. The devil can deny my sonship. He can seek to cast doubt upon my sonship, and he can try to discredit my sonship. And other people can do the same, but I know better because I've heard God speak. Right? Not with an audible voice, but in the pages of his word. And the word of God affirms my identity as a child of God. How do I know I'm saved? Because the Bible says so. We believe what the Bible has to say about being saved. We know what it says. We've heard his voice in the pages of God's word. And his voice identifies us as children of God. God's voice, the voice of God found in the Bible, also affirms his love for us as sons of God. God loves us. And, we are his beloved. Of course, we know that God doesn't love us because we're so lovable. God loves us because God is love. There's nothing in us that is worthy of that love or that merits that love, but he loves us nonetheless. In 1 John chapter 4, John said, beloved, let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it speaks of the great love wherein he loved us. And the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 19, that we love him because he first loved us. The world may hate us. They may mock us. They may persecute us. They may belittle us. They may say things about us that are unkind or untrue. But regardless of what the world may say, regardless of what they may think, God loves us because he said so. We know he loves us because he has said so. Again, how do we know he loves us? Because we've heard his voice. So that's all that matters. We're his children, and he loves us. I talk to people a lot. As a matter of fact, I talked to somebody this week and was questioning whether God loved them. I said, of course God loves you. Well, how do I know? Because the Bible says so. That's how we know. That's what he said. And if we say that God doesn't love us, we're saying that God's word can't be trusted. God loves us. He said so. And we know he does. So the voice of God affirms our identity as sons of God, and it affirms his love for us as sons of God. It also affirms our ministry as the sons of God. Such a wonderful blessing for a Christian to be where God wants him to be, doing what God has called him to do. It's a wonderful blessing because it pleases the Father. And how do we know it pleases the Father when we are serving him? Because he said so. You know, it's wonderful to know that you're where God wants you to be, doing what God has called you to do. And even though people will look at it and say, how foolish are you? How foolish are you going to church every Sunday? How foolish are you of giving, you know, 10% of your income to the work of the Lord? How foolish are you, you know, giving to missions? You know, how foolish are you in you know, doing the things that you do in your service to God? What a waste, they would say. But we know it's not a waste. And we know it's not foolish. We know that God is pleased with what we do. Because God has said so, right? God said so. So, are you doing what God has called you to do? Are you serving him faithfully? If we're serving God faithfully and our heart is right with him, he'll be well pleased with what we do. And we want to be pleasing to the Lord. We want our lives to be pleasing to him. And if you're not doing what God called you to do, then the question would be, why not? Why aren't you serving God? You know, what is the problem? Is it a lack of love that you have for him? He loves you. Do you love him? Is it a lack of trust in him? Do you think that if you answer God's call and do what God calls you to do, that you're going to suffer for it, or you're going to come out on a, you know, on the, you know, the short end of things if you serve God? Nothing could be further from the truth, right? You've got to serve God. It's a matter of trust. You know, as we serve God and we trust him, that trust is based upon his voice, right? His word. I'm going to close with a little story I heard years ago, and I think I've told this story before, but I think it fits here. It's a story of the little girl who was playing outside, and she heard a noise coming from the storm cellar. They had a little storm cellar out in the yard, and she heard a noise, and so she walks over to the storm cellar, and the door was open, and she looks down in there, but it's completely dark inside. She can't see anything. When she stands there for a minute, she hears some noise down there. And so she said, "Who's down there?" And her daddy said, "Why, honey, it's me. I'm down here." And she said, "Daddy, can I come down there to where you are?" And he said, "Sure, honey, you can come down, but I've taken the ladder away. So you'll have to jump. But don't worry, I'll catch you. I can see you." Now, he could see her standing in the light, but she couldn't see him looking down into the darkness. And she said, "But Daddy, I'm afraid to jump." And he said, "Don't be afraid. Just jump. I'll catch you." She said, "But Daddy, I can't see you. And I'm afraid you won't catch me." And her daddy said, "Honey, do you believe I'm down here?" She says, I know you're there. I can hear you." He said, "Do you think I'm strong enough to catch you if you jump?" She said, "I know you're strong enough to catch me." He said, "Do you believe that I love you?" She says, "I know you love me." He said, "Honey, have I ever lied to you?" She said, "No, Daddy, you've never lied to me." He said, "Then jump." And with her eyes closed, she said, "Okay, Daddy." And she just jumped into that dark cellar. And her daddy's standing there, and he catches her, and he sets her down beside him. That's what God wants from us. God says, "Do you believe I exist?" And we say, "Sure, we believe you exist. We know you exist. Do you believe I'm strong enough to catch you?" We know God's strong enough to catch us. God's almighty. He can do anything. Do we believe that he loves us? We know he loves us. He's told us that over and over again in the pages of his word. God says, have I ever lied to you? We'd have to say, no. God, you've never lied to me. And God says, jump. Trust me, I'll catch you. Just trust me. And I think the reason why a lot of people don't serve the Lord like they should be is that down deep, they just don't really trust that God's going to take care of them. But he will, because he said so. So let's bow our heads together.